Praise be Jesus Christ. Again, welcome to the Diocese of Steubenville, all of our guests from outside. And for those who live in the Diocese of Steubenville, you're still welcome. Grateful to be here. For those who do not know me, my name is Bishop Jeff Monforton. I grew up just outside of the city of Detroit, and I was a priest for the Archdiocese of Detroit for 18 years before Pope Benedict instructed it might be a good idea for me to move here. So obviously you know my answer. But I'm grateful for the time that I spent up in Michigan. It was a blessing to me and my family. Most are still up there, and I also have a good portion that are in Canada, in Ontario. My father's family is from Canada. So it's our roots are important. But where the Lord places us is intentional. I say that because before I dive into the homily, I want to acknowledge certainly the repose of the souls we pray for, Jerry Conacher, most certainly acknowledging his wife, Gwen, as well, who went to the Lord before him. And we're in gratitude for more than 40 years ago, they're the ones who established the Apostolate for Family Consecration, of which we're able to enjoy had the privilege of those fruits today here. You see, we build upon the past. We don't dismiss it. And it strengthens us. We've just celebrated, obviously, the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, a reminder that you and I have responsibilities, and there are consequences for our actions, that we have to stay within, as they would say, the foul lines. God giving us oftentimes lots of slack, but at the same time when we fall, he's there with his mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness. But to that end, we're still reminded there are consequences. And Jesus reminds us of that today in the gospel parable. As Jesus, my gosh, he continues to provide parables for people to understand. What is the kingdom of God? What does God do in our lives? Remember, 98% of the people that, maybe even more, the people he spoke to were illiterate. He had to utilize stories in order to drive his points home. And these parables were not just similes. They also were allegories. Every word had a meaning in what Jesus shared, and it's no different here. How many fish here? All of us. Not one of us is dismissed. There's no squid here. We're all fish. There may be moms and dads out there who would appreciate maybe two or three more arms and hands. But we all are the same in God's eyes. He loves us dearly and gives each one of us our own Christian vocation, of which many of our younger ones here are going to discern, ascertain just what the Lord is asking them to do. Hey, who knows? Every server here may be a priest someday. What do you think? Some are looking at me stoically, as well as others are looking at each other like, we are not going to serve him again. I don't blame you. Though, as I tell in the story time and time again, just a year before I was confirmed when I was in the eighth grade, both my grandmothers said, Jeff, you know, you might make a good priest someday. My thought was, that is so not going to happen. Yeah, I called that one, didn't I? Yeah, grandma's rule, no question about it. But they knew it, and I didn't forget that. Okay, yeah, I was 13 years old. Lots going through my mind at that point, but I did not forget that. So that option was open. So any of you out here, two of the younger people, just let the option of religious life, holy orders, be an option. That's it. Just think about it. You got time. Your family's going to craft. They're going to provide the necessary vocational nursery at home, the domestic church. Allow that to happen. You see, mom and dads, there is consequences to the actions that we have, that the Lord has entrusted us with. So, as each one of us is that fish, do each one of us also have the understanding that we're going to get caught? No. But Jesus is quite clear about divine justice, the justice of God. For the blindness of each catch signifies the impartiality of true justice. God plays no favorites. St. Paul is good about saying that as well. Yes, the fish, as well as we, need to heed that parable, for it's about us. And yet, in the end, there will be division, discrimination, and the separation. But that will occur later. In the meantime, Jesus refers to you and me that we are going to be part of that end of the age, whether it's going to be in 10 seconds or in 10,000 years. There will be an end. God has an end game, and it's us. Jesus refers to the end of the age when, in his person, all human history, its salvation comes to a completion. Human history as we know it is done. It'll be over. Nothing past that. Our goal, obviously, is the beatific vision, to be with God, to be with his saints for all eternity. While none of us here is predestined to go to you know where, we possess the ability, though, through our actions and words, to exclude ourselves from that beatific vision, from eternal life with Jesus. Again, not to use a very common phrase, but yes, our lives matter, literally. The kingdom of God is our goal. Yes. 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 I didn't mean for the homily to be interactive, but it just became. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us that you and I are works in progress. Yes, even the one wearing the pointed hat and carrying the big stick. My goal is heaven, and my goal is the beatific vision, and also to listen to Jesus' words daily. As I mentioned to some youth that decades ago, before one of the World Youth Days that was organized by St. John Paul, there was an acronym, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And of course, it's valid. But what defines it, what makes it actually effective, is when we go deeper with WWJD, and that is, walk with Jesus daily. Jesus is not a book to be read and for us to model after the pages. Jesus is meant to be encountered. His person is here for us. We encounter in prayer, in the Word, the sacrament of the Eucharist, receiving his body and blood. This first reading today, the prophet Jeremiah reminds us that you and I are works in progress, for our hearts, our minds, our very souls must be malleable in the hands of God. We cannot be rigid. We must allow ourselves to be worked by the Lord. And he works in so many different ways, through apostolic exhortations, encyclical letters from the Holy Father, as well as in our own prayer life. The prophet is speaking to a people who have crossed that foul line. They're no longer in play. They're following different gods that don't even exist. But they are walking away from the very God who brought them from Egypt, who is their protector. But they need to be reminded, and they will be in exile, that they need God more than they know. The prophet also reminds us that some of us take longer time and effort on God's hands than others. Some of you out there may say, yes, taking the Lord a long time with me. Well, be grateful. Be grateful that God, that our Lord Jesus Christ has taken time with each and every one of us. And while some of us have taken longer than others, this is not reason for discouragement or despair, but to recognize the truth. To this end, you and I, through the grace of God, possess the ability to be very, very good. As you and I focus on that end, that final catch before eternal life, when history comes to a close, but in the meantime, regardless our Christian vocation, how small some of us may think we feel, in God's eyes we're equal. And we are significant. And when it comes to human history, you and I have a crucial role. It all depends on how well you and I listen. How we remain humble, malleable of heart. And how we, each and every one of us, stands up for our faith, for the very truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave us, his Son, his only Son. Amen.